You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
We're doing a sermon series called Stop, Start, Continue. A lot of these things I've taken from Robert Morris's book and sermon series Frequency. Usually the first couple of weeks we have fasting and prayer streams. We decided this year we want to do a year of consecration where you take one element of your life and you say, I'm going to take this portion of my life and I'm going to consecrate it to the Lord. I'm asking, what do you want me to stop? What do you want me to start? What do you want me to continue? And one of the things I said is I want us to be careful because as Americans especially, we tend to try to do all things all the time. And there's so many areas and so many voices, whether it's our finances or our diet or relationships, or our spiritual journey, we try to take it all on. And we try to tackle everything. At first, I don't want you to bite off more than you can chew. I don't think that's healthy. And second, the Lord is patient and has a perfect plan for your growth. I don't know if you knew that. He has a perfect plan for your growth. And in His time, if you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you'll be way more successful doing it on His time plan, on His pathway. And so, first week we talked about this, that we have a good shepherd who really wants to lead you. And then we talked about also that He is a great friend who wants to advise you. And that was the first week we said, stop believing that lie that God no longer speaks to you. Secondly, we said, start asking His opinion. God, what do you think about this? And then third, continue listening, following, obeying. And last week we talked about the value of His voice. And do you put a priority on hearing the voice of God? And you need to. If you want to set a priority for hearing God's voice, you need to set an appointment, a time where you meet with God and say, this is our appointment. You need to learn how to listen. Take in worship, listen to what He's saying, and then Shannon talked about documenting or recording what God says to you so that further down the road you can remember what He's spoken to you. So today's very, very, very practical. How to hear God's voice. So we're going to get right into it. I'm going to give you 4 points today about how to hear God's voice. I probably should have added a fifth one, just people of wisdom around you, but I think that's a given. First, way that we hear God's voice, and I'm very adamant about this in our church, is that we filter everything by God's Word, God's written Word, the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this. It says, for the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, even dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges, here it is, the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So if you want to know, is this something that I should be doing or something I should stop doing or starting doing or continuing doing? A lot of times it's very easy. It's written in the Word of God that if we would just get in there and read, we would know, God, this is what You're saying to all our people. The New Testament gives us plenty of ways to live life in a healthy way, in God's way. And at this point, a lot of times people can really get into what they perceive as the negatives of the Bible, like don't do this and don't do that. I say perceive because I don't necessarily think when God gives us guidance that it's negative. I think it's positive. But I want to talk to you about a couple of things that you don't have to pray about. All right? James 1:27, you don't have to pray about this. It says, pure religion or religion that our God and our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, we're not going to go into the being polluted by the world, okay? Because if you want to talk about that, come to me. I'll tell you all the things. And I'll help you out with that, okay? I want to talk about this. Pure and faultless religion is what? To take care of the orphans and the widows. So if you have somebody in your life who's orphaned around you, somebody that's a widow, that's in distress, you don't have to pray about it. You just help. Because that is what is faultless and pure religion that our Father accepts. And because we're in the year of response, everybody said? Amen. Amen. Is that right? I mean, we don't have to pray about that. That's part of it. I'm going to add a third category because that's just the type of guy I am. Deuteronomy 27:19 says this. Cursed be anyone who deprives the alien, the orphan, and the widow of justice. And it says in the scripture here, all the people said, amen. I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying that's actually what the Bible said. That their response when He spoke these words, they all knew it was the year response. So all those people said, amen to that. That's the third category, isn't it? If you see an alien, and that was a foreigner in their land that didn't belong to the tribe of Israel, who's in distress, who's not living in justice. Things are not happening to them well. It's unjust what's happening to them. You're supposed to take care of that. And you're supposed to help with that. That's what... Okay, you don't have to pray about that. That's the kingdom of God that we do that. So that's the third category. We don't have to pray about that. And there's a lot of things. We can go into all kinds of things. I think that's a given. We all know that. Read the scriptures. Obey the scriptures. So we're going to move on. Second way is this. Impressions or promptings that come out of personal relationship. Impressions or promptings in your heart that come out of personal relationship. And I say impressions and promptings because I'll be real honest with you. Even though I've said God spoke to me, I've actually never heard the audible voice of God. In fact, I've never really talked to anybody that's heard the audible voice of God. And if you have, you can talk to me afterwards. But I've never heard, never talked to anybody. There's one guy in Bible college that thought he did, and he did, you know, thought he heard the voice of God. And when I went to Bible college, these rooms that we were in were terrible. In fact, 2 years after I left Bible college, they were condemned by the city and tore down. So I got the last... I mean, that's how bad they were. And so 4 guys in bunk beds in this small room, and the walls are really thin, and the guys next to me, one of those guys would go and pray in the closet every morning. If you don't know, I wake up really early in the morning. Always have woke up early in the morning. That's when I spend my time. So I would go in my closet, and they were adjacent to each other, and there were some holes and stuff like that, and we would both pray. But he would pray really loud, and after a while, it got a little annoying. I'll be honest with you. So he'd be crying out to God, God, what do I want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Blah, blah, blah. So one time I just decided to go in the whole, go to Africa. He's like, what? Go in a very deep bass voice because God speaks in a deep bass voice. Go to Africa, you know. And so he came out and then I told him that was me. And it was the voice of the Lord, not the voice of the Lord, right? And... I'm about to read to you some of the saddest words I think God has ever heard. And it's found in Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Let me turn there. I forgot to mark it ahead of time. Here it is. Then the man and his wife, and this is after they've eaten of the tree of knowledge, good of evil. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called out to the man, where are you? Because every day, he would come down and they would walk together and they would talk together and they'd be in relationship and there'd be a communication between the two of them. So God's coming down like he did every day, talk to them and to walk with them. And all of a sudden, man's not there. And he says, where are you? And man answered, he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. Because I was naked, so I hid. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? And it goes on, it says that the man blames the woman, and the woman blames the serpent. And the serpent, we know, is Satan. The New King James Version said his reply is this, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I think those are some of the saddest words that God has ever heard. I heard your voice, and I was afraid, I was ashamed, and I hid. And the reason that mankind has become afraid of God's voice is sin. And this realization that we were naked and we were ashamed. And many here today, and I've run across you, believe that God does not or would not speak to you because of your sin. Ashamed of what you've done, ashamed of what you're doing. And God asked Adam, who told you that you were naked? And he said, did you disobey? And, or I'm going to take a little liberty, if I will. God was saying to him, who told you what you should be afraid of my voice? You know, it's that afraid of the heavy-handed, that for some reason, that same voice that every day walked with him and talked with him and had communication, all of a sudden, that voice was a voice, thinking in his mind, was a voice of condemnation. Who told you should be afraid of my voice? And every time you sin, the only person that's telling you should be afraid of God's voice is a serpent. Every time you make a mistake, the only person that's telling you should be afraid of God's voice is Satan. Because God never created you to run and hide and to sin. He created you to walk with Him and talk with Him daily. And I found that the best place to run when I sin is the courts of my Father. And you know what happens when I do that? Every time He listens to me and He speaks to me. Jesus came to die for our sins. We say it all the time. It is true. But in reality, Jesus came to die so that we would be restored to that personal, intimate relationship found in the Garden of Eden. So that we would be reconnected with our Father so that we could walk with Him and talk with Him daily. And, excuse me, to lead someone to Christ, I believe this, and to tell them you can have a personal relationship with Him and to infer that God no longer speaks directly to them is a bait and switch. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus, but here's a manual. Good luck with that. And I'm not speaking against the Word of God. I'm just saying to say you can have a personal relationship and He doesn't want to speak to you daily, that's a disservice. Dallas Willard says this in his book, Hearing God. If God doesn't speak today, then the greatest disservice we could ever do to people is to tell them that they can have a personal relationship with God. Let me put it another way. Every father probably knows this. Christmas Eve, you've got that bike or that furniture or whatever, and you're putting it together. So on Christmas morning, they wake up and be wowed by it, right? And all of a sudden, you're in the middle of it, and you're looking at some instructions that are written in another language, originally Japanese or Swedish probably, and they were translated into your language, and you're trying to read that, and you just can't figure it out. And all the tech support lines are down. They're closed because it's Christmas Eve, and you're trying to figure it out. Imagine if you had one of the people that came up with that bike or that furniture that created it in the first place sitting right next to you. Well, that made a world of difference, doesn't it? And Jesus said, I won't leave you orphaned. But I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. And He will what? Teach you all things. We have, it's called the Comforter, a helpmate. God speaks to us with impressions and thoughts, and it's the Holy Spirit within us. But He speaks to us through relationship, through intimate relationships. And I have, through years, learned how to hear His impressions and His promptings, which is going to lead me to a third way of hearing God. And I'm going to bring up a friend of mine, Mr. David Lake, who's going to come up. David Lake has written a book sort of this concept. He speaks into my life about how to get revelations from the Holy Spirit. So, David, 5 minutes are on the clock. Okay, I'm just kidding. Wait, go for it.
It's okay. So, he said we've written a book. It's called Redefining Rhema. It really is about hearing the voice of God. Because to me, that's what you were created to do. Walk in that fellowship with Him and hear His voice. So, in the English translation of the Bible, there's actually two different words for the word word. Did you get that? English word, one. Greek word, two different words. One of them is logos, and one of them is rhema. I'm going to give you a simple definition. Logos is the written word of God. Okay, it is your litmus test, as Pastor said. It is the thing that you measure everything by. The second word is rhema. And what rhema does is it's a now word from God about a particular situation that you're dealing with in your life. Okay, it's a faith-infused utterance from God. All right, so those are two simple terms. Written word, rhema, is a fresh word from God. What's going to happen? So, application. In my life, I own a business. We build swimming pools. And the business was started back in 2008, and God's caused this thing to grow, and I really believe it's His business. So about 4 years ago, I'm coming back from the Philippines from a missions trip, and God speaks to me this word out of Matthew. Now, I love reading the Bible. It's my favorite thing to do, and I love spending time getting to know God. So God speaks this word to me, and he says to me, David, the kingdom of God is like the mustard seed that's in the garden, the smallest of all seeds, that when it grows, it casts forth its branches. It becomes the biggest plant or the biggest tree in the garden, and even the birds come of the air come and rest in it. And he says, David, that's what the pool, that's what a kingdom business is, and that's what the pool company needs to be. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm real happy with how this thing is working, and I'm real happy about not being big. So this word from God is bigger than me, because my second reaction was, God, I don't know how to grow a business. Okay, I grew up, I put tool belts on, I built houses, and, you know, it was the grace of God that even put me in business. So I'm like, God, what do I don't even know how to grow a business. So, but I know that when God has spoke something that way, and it measures up to the litmus test of the word of God, that I know God is going to do what he said he was going to do. So that next year, what I did is I just prayed, God, how do I grow a business? And for an entire year, that was my prayer. So the following year, I'm coming back from another missions trip to the Philippines, and God speaks to me just as clear as could be, now. And I go back home, I open up a second showroom, hire people, and do things that I never even had the capacity or thought that I could do. Why? Because God spoke a word. He brought all the pieces together. He infused faith in me to do that thing that he called me to do. And now the business continues to grow. Every year,
you know, I love about
I
that
God,
too, is
God,
that even the picture of the birds in the air, and because that you've been able to give people
yet.
Jobs,
but because God
and
loves
people
you
have become
so much,
a part of
and
that
he's
business,
in fellowship
and really
with you, and
found
you have
rest
his
in that.
Word to
when we started the church,
you know,
I was asked to start it, and I took a month to pray about it. You've heard the story,
God,
and then one night I woke up, and Psalm 105 was on my mind, and I woke up at 2 in the morning, I read Psalm 105, and it became the chapter that I based this whole church plan on. And it was interesting, when this building came up, I went back to Psalm 105. And at the end of Psalm 105, it says, I'm going to give you lands and places that you did not build. And that was a word that was in my heart that said, you know what? I was praying about whether this should be ours, and it was. And that word that was still there, as David talked, became infused in me. This was a place, and I had faith for it. So it's been a part of my walk, and I want to encourage you, as you read and as you pray, there will be times that God will spark stuff like that out of his word that will mean a lot to you. So thanks, David, for that. It was great. The final place I want to talk to you about, and this is something that's very close to my heart right now, is a prophetic word of prophecy. Now, I'm not talking about a prophetic person. That's a different thing. Prophecy is giving a message from God to someone for the strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And I'm going to read you several scriptures, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to read them off the screen. Let's bring them up. Numbers 11, 24 through 29. It says, so Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders, and the elders were part of the leadership there, like they are at our church, and had them stand around the tent. And this is interesting. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with them. And he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on Moses. Interesting. And put it on the 70 elders, the leadership power, the ability to speak to the people. And when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. And I want to sit there for just a second now. This was a specific incident where God needed them to do something. So he comes down and he puts the Holy Spirit on them. And for that moment, at that time, they prophesied. And it said they didn't ever do it again. Now here goes, this is where it gets interesting. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad, and they had a brother named Udad, and a father was named Imah, Imadad, and, sorry, that was bad, and had remained in the camp. So they weren't with these guys. They were listed among the elders, but they did not go out to the tent. Yet, the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, you know, like, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, son of Nun, which is interesting, but we won't talk about that, who had Moses, who was Moses' age since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. They're out of control. Eldad and Medad, you got to stop this. But Moses replied, are you really jealous for my sake? I wish hear this, that all the Lord's people were prophets. And that the Lord would put His Spirit on them. That's my prayer right now. I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and He would put His Spirit on them. We say, well, that's interesting. It's an Old Testament story. Aha. Acts chapter 2. Then Peter stood up with the 11. This is on the day of Pentecost. He's addressing the crowd. He says, fellow Jews and all you live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. And these guys are speaking in tongues and crazy stuff going on. Because listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning, which I don't think that makes sense because I've seen people drunk at 9 in the morning. But he's making a point. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is Old Testament. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Everybody here, a son or a daughter. Okay. Is that it? And then you're saying, well, that was great. That was a day of Pentecost, unique situation. Paul's talking to the church. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. He says later on, the one who prophesies speak to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. And 31a says, for you can all prophesy. A prophecy is when God speaks to you about somebody else. It's for their strengthening, they're encouraging, they're exhorting. When we were in Ecuador, one of the things that I appreciated was the fact that when they got together and prayed, they just assumed that God was going to speak to somebody for the situation. It was just a part of their DNA. It was a part of their network. And I thought, what a powerful thing that when we get together, that we just assume that if we're in a prayer group of 5 or 6 people, that somebody's going to share something with somebody that God's going to say, I see this for you. And they were sharing things about me that there is no way in the world that they should have known. And I was able to look at that. In fact, I was thinking about one situation today, and he reminded me of a prophecy that I heard there. We were at men's retreat this last year, and there was a young man in our congregation who had never experienced this at all in his life, who felt like he had a word for me, and he went up to one of our pastors, and he said, I don't know what this looks like. It never happened to me before. He goes, but I feel like I have a word for Pastor Lloyd. And I think Alan gulped, I don't know, but he said, is it a positive word? He goes, I think it is. He goes, well, I think you should share that with him. And so he writes me out this, I think it was a note or an email, I think it sends it to me. And I was in the middle of a situation that was intense, and I was trying to try to correct somebody about a situation. And this is what he wrote. He goes, I just felt like the Lord said, father them like Floyd fathers you. Floyd McClung. And just if you didn't get the update today, Sally McClung, we know Sally, many of us, she just got the report that the cancer she's been battling with, that she's body's totally free of that. And so it's a good report today. In the middle of all the stuff they're going through, it's a positive report. But he said, father them like Floyd would father you. I wrote that out, and it's stuck on my cubicle where I work. Father them like Floyd father you. And it is something that I repeat over and over again. It was pertinent to that situation. It's pertinent to today's situation. And it is something that I repeat on a regular basis. Now, that had never happened to him before, but in the midst of that worship service, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He had a word for me that helped me in the middle of an intense situation that still helps me today. 26 years ago, I was in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It was our first pastorate. There was a leader that came to speak to our congregation. He looks at Judy and me and he says, one day, God's saying you will pastor in a community with young families. And we thought, oh, that's today. This is it. And guess what? It wasn't it. And then we moved somewhere else and it wasn't it. But 14 years ago, we started a church in a community with a bunch of young families. And today, God has given us... Did you see all the kids at Christmas Eve? There were tons of kids up there. We have young families in this church. It was a word that we followed all of our life. And my prayer is this. You know what my prayer is? That God will do that to you. I'm excited. February 18th, we're going to have Fabian Melindo. He's the pastor in Ecuador. We've become very close. He's coming here. He's going to speak to us that day. And he asked me, he goes, do you mind if I pray that the Lord would sort of release the prophetic in your church? I said, I would love to have you pray that the Lord would release the prophetic. And he has an understanding of that and how that works in a very a good and safe and proper way. And when it's that way, it's powerful. So he's going to speak that day. We're going to have a Spanish translator. If you know what somebody that speaks Spanish, bring them that Sunday. They're going to love it. And we're going to raise, the other thing I want to tell you, about $4,000 so we can buy a house in their community in Ecuador for a family that lost their house during the earthquake that happened a while back. And they have a great plan. They're building houses, their churches. And then for every four houses they build, one of those houses is going to want to have their church member in it so they can start a Bible study with the three other houses. So we want to build a house so we can put a family in there so they can reach those people for the gospel. So don't miss that Sunday. God is not mute. God does not play charades with you. First one, sounds like. You know what I mean? He doesn't do that. He's not trying to have you. He is not a third base coach. You know, you're trying to figure out the signs. I don't get that. God speaks to his people. Do you believe that? Amen. He wants to speak to you. And I don't care what's happened in your life, right? When you hear his voice, you never have to be afraid. It's always good. It's always good for you. It's always good when you hear his voice. So please stop hiding. Here's my stop start. Can you stop hiding from God because of guilt or shame? Start asking his advice and being excited about his voice. And continue listening for his response in everything you do. In fact, I would say don't take a step without really hearing what God wants you to do in every area of your life. Can we do that today? Let's stand and let's just take the arenas of our life. And there may be one specific, and maybe this is your stop, start, and continue. There's one area that you say, Lord, I've sort of taken control of that area. And I'm in charge of that area. And David talked about his business. I don't know that it was that way, but maybe that's it. You go, you know what? You're good over here, but here, that's my thing. Father, today we take the thing that's my thing and we give it to you, and it's your thing. And we need your guidance, and we need your direction, and we need you to speak to us. And I just pray that you would give words of insight, words of wisdom, even right now. I pray that there might even be people here that have a word for somebody else and they'll have the courage to speak that out, something that encouraged them in their journey. So I do pray, Father, for a release of hearing your voice in our congregation so that we will follow in your will and your way every day. Because we know when we're in your will and your will every day, that will always be the best results for our life. We believe that. And so we pray that we'd hear your voice in a powerful way. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.